أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome back to Ramadan Reflections for 2022. Today being the 17th day of the blessed month of Ramadan, we continue in our review of In the Presence of the Prophet, the verses of the Quran that chronicle the life of Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family. We have moved to the Medinan phase, having left Mecca. And you know those formative early years in Mecca where Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, began the message? This was a time in which he was trying to win over the minds and the hearts of the non-believers and get them to see the beauty of God and the ugliness of the idols which were being worshipped, these statues which could not benefit or harm, which could do nothing on their own. There was early days in Mecca where about propagation of the mission, propagation of the message, getting people to understand the beauty of the oneness of God. However, from the migration to Medina, we see that the focus now begins to shift. Yes, it's still about propagation and education and to spread the message far and wide, as the Prophet would do, as we will discuss in upcoming sessions. However, it was also now of the utmost importance to protect this nascent community, to ensure that both external and internal enemies could not penetrate the fortress of Islam and not create massive confusion and discord and hatred and animosity within the growing community of believers in Medina. At this juncture in Medina, early on, the Prophet and Islam were really faced with three major threats or challenges to the religion. One was the dangers from the Quraysh, the polytheist Quraysh and other idol worshippers of the Arabian Peninsula, who were obviously threatened by this religion, by its teachings, by its social cohesion, by its unity, by its giving dignity to everybody, regardless of color, regardless of their background. A second threat that which the Prophet and the Muslims had to deal with were the Jews of Yathrib. They lived within Medina and also outside of the outskirts of Medina, and they possessed wealth, resources, influence, because they had been there for generations. The third challenge that the Prophet had to deal with and he had to encounter and he had to bring about a way to resolve were differences which existed between his own supporters, between the Muslims. You know, the Muhajirun and Ansar are two unique groups that have been brought up in two uniquely different environments. The Muhajirun, who came from Mecca, were once polytheists or maybe believers in one of the previous prophets. The people of Medina, especially the two tribes of Aus and Khazraj, had their own historical animosities and wars and fighting going back hundreds of years. So there were vast differences between these two groups, the way of their thinking, their culture, their environment, their upbringing. And so because the merging of two groups with two unique thought patterns could prove to be dangerous to the ummah, to that young growing community, the Prophet needed to also work at the hearts of the believers. Sure, they've connected to God, they've converted, they've left their polytheistic ways and now have accepted the one true God. But now they need to learn how to be socially cohesive, how to remove and iron out any social differences that may exist amongst them because of their previous ways. The first two challenges that I spoke about the Quraysh and about the Jewish tribes, those would be dealt with by the Prophet in specific ways, which we may discuss later on in this series. The third challenge, however, of uniting the hearts of the believers, this could only be done by Allah directly. Through Allah, through verses of the Quran, and obviously the intervention and the teaching of those verses by the Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family. And this would call for an establishment of the bonds of fraternity, of brotherhood, between these two groups of Muslims, the Muhajirun on one hand, and the locals, the Ansar, on the other hand. And so approximately 5 to 8 months after the migration, the Prophet was told, and he told his companions subsequently, to begin to pair themselves as brothers in the way of Allah. Now this pact of ukhuwah, as we call it, the fraternity, the brotherhood pact, This would actually take place many years later again at another level, but this initial pact was to ensure that the Muhajirun and Ansar, and even the Ansar amongst themselves, would have removed all animosity that may have existed in pre-Islamic era, and that they would come onto the same page as being the followers. And so the verse of the Quran which we want to reflect upon today comes to us from chapter number 9, Surah At-Tawbah, verse 100, in which Allah speaks about the unique relationship between these two groups of Muslims. And Allah says the following: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. The first and foremost to embrace Islam and excel others in virtue among the emigrants and the helpers, and those who follow them in devotion to doing good, aware that God is seeing them. God is well pleased with them, and they are well pleased with Him. And He has prepared for them gardens through which rivers flow, therein to abide forever. That is the supreme triumph. Now, right off the bat, you know, we have to understand that this pact of ukhuwah, of brotherhood, of fraternity, it did not establish a legal precedent. There was no talk of inheritance, that now that you are brothers, you're inheriting, or that your family members become related to one another, like a mahram relationship, a family relationship between men and women of two different families. No, this was more a spiritual pact meant to strengthen the bonds of love between two unique groups of Muslims who come from polar opposites in terms of culture and upbringing and, you know, where they used to live. Now, as the companions were going to be united with one another, a point would come where every muhajir, every immigrant was paired with an ansar, a local inhabitant of Medina. Everybody had been given or found a brother in faith to pair up with. However, the historians say not only on this occasion, but also later on in the second pact of ukhuwah, which is where actually even muhajirun were paired up with muhajirun, who were of the same qualities or characteristics or had the same kind of temperament and ideology, would be paired with their own muhajirun. And same with the ansar. And so, for example, you know, we would have people of Mecca who would be paired up with Meccans, and people from Medina who would be paired with people from Medina. But in this first pledge of brotherhood, which we want to look at, is where at the end of all of this happens, there are like two people left alone with no pairs. One was the Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family. The other was a young man named Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The Prophet didn't pair himself up with anybody, and Imam Ali was not paired with anybody. Some reports mention this left Imam Ali, peace be upon him, a bit saddened, confused. Why would the Prophet pair up every other companion of Mecca with people in Medina, but he left Imam Ali alone? And this is where some historians mention that the Prophet looked around for Ali alayhi salam in Medina, and he goes to him and he says to Ali, "Are you sad that I have made a pact of brotherhood amongst the Muhajirun and Ansar, but I didn't give you anybody to be paired up with as a spiritual brother in faith? Somebody who will be helpful to you, who will benefit you, who will help you out in your, you know, in your new city?" And then that's what the Prophet said to Ali the first time, and he would say this many times after. "Are you not happy that you are to me as Aaron was to his brother Moses? Except that there will be no prophet after me." SubhanAllah, the brother of the Prophet, as the Prophet himself declared, was Imam Ali, peace be upon him. It wasn't any other companion, wasn't any other friend or family member from Mecca or Medina. It was Imam Ali, peace be upon him. The same Imam Ali that was brought up by the Prophet and Umm al-Mu'mineen Khadija, peace be upon both of them. The same Ali that was the first man to believe in the Messenger of God, the same Ali who would sleep in the bed of the Prophet to save his life, is now being called the brother of the Prophet. The equal, just as Aaron was to Moses, Ali is to the Prophet, except there's no Prophet after Rasulullah. Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family. You know, one of the main concerns of Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, was to establish social justice. And on one hand, this required a collapse, in a way, of the social classes. You're not special just because you're a muhajir or because you're an ansar. Iman is what would define your preeminence. And on the other hand, an establishment of close relationship and affinity amongst individuals. Because when somebody is your brother, blood brother or spiritual brother, you're going to treat them with a different, in a different way. You're going to look at them in a different way. You're going to have a closer bond and friendlier ties with that individual. And so the Prophet established this relationship of religious brotherhood as a practical strategy to form brotherhood and equality amongst the muhajirun, the emigrants, and the ansar, the local inhabitants of the city of Medina. And this brotherhood would actually penetrate into the Muslim psyche to such an extent that Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, would be quoted as saying that surely the believers, in relation to the mercy and compassion and affection which they have for one another, are as the same as one human body. Therefore, if one part of the body is feeling pain, and then it complains about this pain to the other parts of the body, and through that, naturally, the body obviously would react and try and repair that part of the body that is hurting. And so this is the link that the Prophet sought to establish, brothers and sisters. A very close link, a fraternity amongst the believing men and women. A link which hopefully would never be broken. A link of religious affinity which would transcend all other differences people may have. Of language, of color, of race. And in the words of the Quran, that the Prophet brought about was this religious affinity and brotherhood, an everlasting peace and harmony which could never, ever happen except through divine revelation. Having moved to Yathrib, establishing the Muslim state, uniting the hearts of the believers, and doing so much more, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his family, was moving ahead, forging the new identity with a mandate he had from God. In order to press ahead further, though, he had to work even harder in the path of Allah, and sometimes this work could not be done personally. He needed the assistance, the hidden hand of God to guide him. Join us tomorrow on the 18th day of Ramadan as we review the topic of Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, being a witness over our actions and his access to the knowledge of the unseen realm. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.